Hello and welcome to the I Can Do podcast with Benjamin Lee. We're here to talk about tips and strategies to have an I Can Do mindset. Life is what you put into it. Get the most you can. Here's your host, Benjamin Lee.
My Bible is open up to Psalm chapter 18. If you have your Bible, please open it up to Psalm chapter 18 as you are turning there. I want to challenge all of us this week. I want to encourage all of you, and myself included, to meditate upon three words. Three words I want to ask you to remember. And these three words, for some of us, may challenge us with respect to what we believe. These three words will certainly bring great comfort for others as well who already believe. And these three words will help you and will help myself. If we find ourselves having setbacks, if we are suffering, if we have doubts, experiencing death, these three words that I'm going to ask you to consider and to meditate upon for yourself and your faith this week is this: the Lord lives. The Lord lives. This statement, this recognition, this conviction, this confession is found all throughout the Word of God. The Lord lives. I love the song we just sang. The Lord lives. In Psalm chapter 18, King David is giving praise to God because God has delivered him from his enemies, from King Saul. And it was David who would say in Psalm 18, verse number 46, "The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted by the God of my salvation." David cried out and gave thanks to the God who lives and the God who delivered him from the hands of his enemies. It was Jesus in John chapter 6 and verse number 57 as he said, "The living Father sent me and I live because of the Father." The Lord lives. God lives. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse number 10, the Apostle Paul for good reason reminds us of where our hope needs to be fixed. It is in the one who lives, for it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers. The Lord lives. This statement, this reality is a great study for all of us. It deserves our utmost attention. Now, there may be some this morning who are seeking, who are learning maybe for the first time what the Bible actually has to say about God. Maybe you've never even read from the Holy Scriptures. This is for you as you are seeking and understanding about the true and living God. But this is for all of us. It doesn't matter how long you have been a Christian. You and I need to be reminded that the Lord lives. Let me tell you why. There are some important facts and truths from this one statement, "The Lord lives." It reminds us, number one, that the Lord is, that He exists. And certainly, this is what the Bible says over and over again. As I talk about the Lord, the one who exists, the one who is real, I'm referring to Yahweh. I'm not talking about idol gods or false gods or so-called gods, but Yahweh, the one true God we read about in the Bible. Deuteronomy chapter 6, God told Moses, "There is one God, and this is the God that I'm referring to." Look over in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 in your Old Testament. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, it was King David who would make this contrast, that there is only one true living God as compared to the idols of the world. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse number 26, the Bible says, "For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens." This is the Lord who lives, the one who created heaven and earth. Genesis chapter 1, we know that the Bible begins with this reality. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I know we have some who are going off to college here in a few short weeks. Don't ever forget what the Bible has to say. God is. The Lord lives. He is the one that created all things from the beginning. The Lord God, He is the one. He is the one that lives. And the Bible makes it clear who God is. He is everlasting from everlasting. He has no beginning and no end. He is eternal. Notice what Moses said in Psalm chapter 90. Will you turn there with me, please? In Psalm chapter 90, Moses describes the Lord who lives. in Psalm chapter 90, verses 1 and 2, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. The Lord lives. The reality, brothers and sisters, friends, is that none of us have an excuse. We heard a great lesson last week called Excuses. None of us have an excuse when it comes to believing in the Lord who lives. In fact, Paul would make that very clear, that we can see from his abstract revelation the creation that he has made, that indeed he lives and we can see his power. I'm reading from Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. Paul reminds us about the power of God. He would say, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth and unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident. Notice that he says, what we can know about God, what is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them. All of us can seek and find the true and living God. We're made in his image. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature, this is who God is. The Lord who lives, he is eternal, he is divine, and we see his power from the very beginning of the creation of the world. Paul says they have clearly been seen, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. You see, the Lord is. This statement, the Lord lives, certainly reminds us about the existence of God, the one who created the heavens and the earth. It was Moses who had this interaction with God in Exodus chapter 3. Will you turn over there? In the burning bush, when God is going to speak to Moses to help him, to prepare him, to deliver his people from Egyptian bondage. Moses has some questions about how the people may respond. What is he supposed to say? How is he going to be able to do all of this? And the Lord who lives would tell him, this is what you say. In Exodus 3 and verse 13, then Moses said to the Lord, behold, I'm going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. This is who I am, and this is what you tell them. I am the self-existing one. I am the uncaused cause of all things. I am this eternal cause of all things. The Lord lives. Yet some struggle with this reality. Some may ask, well, who created God? As if that is a question that will challenge us and cause us to doubt. Well, the answer is no one made God. He is eternal. He is the self-existing one. I am who I am. I am everlasting to everlasting. He exists and always has and always will. Yet for some, they struggle and there are things that get in the way. There are those in the world today, brothers and sisters, that will seek to undermine what the Bible has to say, that will seek to undermine our faith. Paul talked about those who will suppress the truth in Romans 1 and verse 18. Those who will exchange the truth of the Creator for a lie. And we see that in our society today, don't we? A lot of emphasis upon the universe. Well, people have forgotten the one who created the universe. God is the one who has created all things. The Lord lives. When you do a study on this statement, it's fascinating how often it's used. It is often used to affirm to make sure something is sure and true. There are individuals, particularly in the Old Testament, who would use this statement to affirm who they were or what they were saying was true and sure. In fact, I wanted to share a couple of examples here with you in 2 Chronicles chapter 18, verse number 13, and then we'll go to the book of Kings. If you're interested in studying this more, you'll find a lot more examples in 2 Kings in particular, and I'll try to walk you through a few of these as well. One of my favorite stories is with Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles. And what we find here, there's an interaction that Jehoshaphat had with the king of the north, I believe it was Ahab. And this king never liked the prophets of God. There was a prophet, Micaiah, and he said, well, this prophet only speaks bad things to me. But Jehoshaphat wanted to hear a message from the Lord and said, is there any prophet? And I love what Micaiah said. I just want you to see how this statement is used. Micaiah is going to talk to Ahab, and he says, as the Lord lives, what my God says, that I will speak. He's using this statement, as the Lord lives, not in a loose kind of way or flippant kind of way, but in a way to show, listen, I am only going to say exactly what God says. Just as you know for a fact, and you know the reality that the Lord lives, what I am going to say to you, that's how sure and true you can take it as well. All right? And that's what we see how individuals use this statement. Look over in 2 Kings chapter 2, right before Elijah would be taken up by God, Elisha is going to use this statement quite a bit. In 2 Kings chapter 2, and again, it's being used as a way to affirm something that is true, that is certain, just as true and certain as the Lord lives. In 2 Kings chapter 2, verse number 2, Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. In other words, no, just as sure as God lives, there wasn't a question about whether or not the true and living God lived in the mind of Elisha. So he's using this statement, as the Lord lives, I am going to remain with you, Elijah. Moving on in 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse number 6. Then Elijah said to him, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan. And he said, as the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. Over and over, this statement is found in 2 Kings. In 2 Kings chapter 3 and verse number 14. 2 Kings 3 and verse number 14, Elisha said, as the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would not look at you nor see you. Time and time again, this statement is being used. What's the significance of this? There's no question in the mind of men like Elisha or others that the Lord lived, that the Lord lives. And so it's being used in a way to make sure someone knows the serious nature of what they're saying or their commitment or whatever it is that they are trying to get across. Now, there are other occasions where individuals used this statement in a way that was wrong. In 2 Kings chapter 6, Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, he's going to pursue after Naaman. And he's going to use this statement, as the Lord lives, in verse number 20 of 2 Kings, actually 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse number 20. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, thought, behold, my master hath spared this Naaman, the Aramean, by not receiving from his hands what he brought. As the Lord lives, I will run after him and take something from him. We see how clearly defiant Gehazi was. Just as sure as God lives, I'm going to be disobedient to my master, and then he's going to lie about it to Elisha, and he's going to live in leprosy the rest of his life. This statement is a powerful statement. The Lord lives. Even the Lord himself used this statement. If you want to study more on this, you can turn over to the book of Jeremiah. One example in Jeremiah chapter 4. In Jeremiah chapter 4, verse number 1. Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse number 1 and verse number 2, the Lord is going to use this speaking of himself. Again, affirming something. This is true. This is sure. This is reality. If you will return, O Israel, declares the Lord, then you should return to me. And if you will put away your detested things from my presence and will not waver, and you will swear as the Lord lives. So it was often used in this way, as an oath or as a swear. You will swear as the Lord lives in truth and justice and in righteousness. Then the nations will bless themselves in him, and in him they will glory. God told the people of this statement and the significance of what that would mean as they said this. The Lord lives. The Bible is clear that indeed the Lord does live. And this statement speaks about His existence. The Lord lives. The question for all of us, do we believe the Lord lives? He is and has always been. He created the heavens and the earth. The Lord lives. But the statement doesn't just end with respect to the existence of the Lord. As you think about this statement, the Lord lives, it also reminds us that the Lord is active. He lives. He is alive. He is involved in the affairs of men. You go back to Psalm chapter 18. Look at verse number 1. I want you to notice what David says about God in Psalm chapter 18. David is crying out to God and giving thanks to God. I want you to see the passion and the zeal and the appreciation that David had for God. Psalm 18, verse number 1. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Verse 16, He sent from on high, He took me, He drew me out of many waters, He delivered me from my strong enemy and from those who hated me, for they were too mighty for me. Over and over again, we see that God has been active in the affairs of men. As David cried out to the Lord in Psalm chapter 18, we know that God was active in the beginning. And we know that even in certain situations like the destruction of the world with the flood in Genesis chapter 6, God was active. He saw the sin of mankind. He would give instructions to Noah to build the ark. Noah and his family would be saved out of the entire world. 8 souls would be saved. I love what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 8. Look over in Genesis chapter 8. While Noah and his family are on the ark in Genesis chapter 8, God continued to be active. He would remember what He had told them, the promises and this relationship that He had with them. In Genesis chapter 8 and verse number 1, the Bible says, But God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the cattle that were with him in the ark. And God caused a wind to pass over the earth and the water subsided. It's not that God forgot. It's not that God overlooked what happened. But it's a reminder that God is following through with what He said He's going to do. It is showing us the faithful nature of God. Look over in Exodus chapter 2. We see this same kind of language. Remember when the Israelites were crying out, God is going to, the Bible says He's going to remember Israel. In Exodus chapter 2, at the end of that chapter, the people have been in bondage for centuries. In verse number 23, the Bible says, Now it came about in the course of those many days that the king of Egypt died, and the sons of Israel sighed because of the bondage. And they cried out, and their cry for help because of their bondage rose up to God. You see, God hears His people. He doesn't just sit high and look low and kind of leaves Himself a distance away from His people. No, He heard their tears and their cries. So God heard their groaning, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was moved to act based upon His relationship with them. He was consistent in what He said that He would do. Whether it was with the flood or in the days of Egypt, even in the book of Acts, we see that God, He has been active. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, remember the Apostle Peter, he's going to stand up with the 11 and he's going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he reminds that audience in Acts chapter 2 in Jerusalem about the predetermined plan of God. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. This man, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. You see, God moved on our behalf, on behalf of the entire world, by sending His Son. The Lord lives. This statement reminds us that the Lord lives. Yes, He exists. He is also active in the affairs of men. He's not a rock. He's not a piece of stone or a piece of wood. No, He's alive. And He sees. And He hears. And He moves. And He acts. And what a powerful thought for us. He's not far from any of us. That we can have fellowship with Him. But the reality is sometimes, it doesn't always feel that way, does it? Have you ever felt a distance between you and the Lord who lives? Have you ever felt that He doesn't hear your prayers? He hears everyone else's, but not mine. That He sees everyone else's pain, but not mine. Well, feelings are often wrong. That's why we stick with facts. What did Elisha know? What did other Old Testament men and women know? The Lord lives. The Lord lives. This is why this is so important. He is alive. He does rule and reign in heaven. The Lord lives. He is still active. The Bible tells me in Genesis chapter 8 and tells you as well, we get a reminder that God is, He still lives, He's still active, He's still in control of all things in Genesis chapter 8. Remember after the flood, there's some promises that God makes and we are reminded of this even today. In Genesis chapter 8, verse 21, the Lord smelled the soothing aroma and the Lord said to Himself, I will never again curse the ground on account of man, for the intent of man's heart is evil from his youth, and I will never again destroy every living thing as I have done. The world will never be destroyed again by a worldwide flood. Now, 2 Peter chapter 3 does remind us that the world one day will be destroyed by fire. It won't be water, but next time it will be fire. But we are reminded of the fact that God, He lives and He is active. While the earth remains, verse 22, seed time and harvest and cold and heat. We got a lot of heat right now, but eventually the cold will come, hopefully, right? The seasons will come, cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. We still see and are reminded about God and what He does on behalf of mankind. In chapter 9, the promise, the sign that has been given with respect to the rainbow about God never destroying the world again with a flood. In verse number 9, He said, Now behold, I myself do establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you and with every creature that is with you, the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you, of all that comes out of the ark, even every beast of the earth. I establish my covenant with you, and all flesh shall never again be cut off by the water of the flood. Neither shall there again be a flood to destroy the earth. God says, here's how you can know. The Lord lives. What I say is consistent and true. This is the sign of the covenant which I'm making between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all successive generations. I will set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a sign of a covenant between me and the earth. That is a constant reminder for us that the Lord lives. The rainbow helps us to see, yes, He continues to be active. He continues to follow through with what He says He will do. The Lord lives. He exists. And He is active in the lives of men. As we think about ourselves, for Christians, a couple of thoughts that we need to hold on to this morning. We can appeal to the one who lives. I pray to God that we understand the significance of our fellowship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I pray that our lives never get so consumed with busyness and greed and possessions that we take for granted or that we don't truly appreciate, that we have slowed down and been so busy and so tired that we forget to appeal to the God who lives. The Lord lives. Hebrews chapter 4, we can appeal to Him in prayer and go before the God in His throne of grace. we know that he is still active, because you don't call upon someone who's not going to respond. And yet, Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, casting all your cares to him, because he cares for you. It's annoying when people don't pick up the phone or respond to that text message, right? We never have to worry about with God. He hears. He lives. He still is active in our lives. What a blessing that we know we can know as Christians, when we fall short, when we stumble, when we commit sin, that we can return to him, that he will forgive. 1 John 1, if we say that we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. What a blessing that the Lord is active, that he hears your prayers, that he's waiting for you to come to him, that he's concerned about you and your life, that he is alive. For those who are unbelievers in this audience, unbelievers, what I mean by that, you have not confessed your faith in Jesus Christ being the Son of God, risen from the dead. You have not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, put it on Christ in baptism. You have not made that decision to turn away from your sins. You are outside of Jesus Christ. But here's the good news. You can seek after the God who lives. He is not far from you because you're made in his image. That's what Paul said in Athens in Acts 17 and verse 27. Here's something else that's awesome to think about as well. You can be pleasing to the Lord who lives. You can be pleasing to him this very moment today. Let me show you how. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, the Hebrew writer reminds us about faith and what faith is all about. Belief, and trust, and loyalty, and action. And the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 11 and verse number 6, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Do you want to please the Lord who lives? You must have faith in him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. You see, he exists. You must believe that he is. Watch this. And that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Let's make sure you're seeking and we're seeking after the right things in our lives. And don't wait until retirement or when everything is perfect in your life to start seeking after God, because it may be too late. Seek after him now. Today is the day of salvation. You see, when you seek after him, you'll learn of him and his son Jesus and the good news of Jesus Christ, how you can have forgiveness of sins. You see, the statement, the Lord lives, points to his existence, reminds us that he is active, and it also helps us to see, lastly, that he is the source of life. And this is the life that we all need. The Lord who lives is the only one who can give us life. Turn over to Psalm 84. Psalm 84, the psalmist says so much about the Lord who lives. It is so encouraging to read what the psalmists have to say concerning God. In Psalm 84 and verse number 1, how lovely are your dwelling places, O Lord of hosts. My soul, and ask yourself as we read this, can we say these things as well? It is possible for us. But notice again what the psalmist is saying. My soul longed and even yearned for the courts of the Lord. Where do we find our zeal? What gets us excited and passionate? Does God do that for us even today? Seeking after him, desiring to be with him, my heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Have we forgotten that as we sing, we're singing to the living God? Not to a God who's dead, where we mumble the words or stare at the screen and let everybody else sing. No, we're singing to the living God. That's reason for us to shout our praises. He is the one who is alive. There is a God. He is alive. In Psalm 36, Remember what the psalmist says here. God, He is the fountain. He is the source of life. For with You is the fountain of life. In Your light, we see light. You want to live? Sin is not going to help you to live. Doing things on your own is not going to help you to live. Popularity is not going to help you to live. Millions or billions of dollars is not going to help you to live. Life is found in the Lord who lives. This is what He offers, true life. He's the one that can give us what all of us need. There's a part that's missing in the hearts of so many people in the world. A piece that's missing that nothing that is put in or nothing that is accumulated can ever fill. Only the one who lives. That's the reason to remain with God. You leave God because of your stubborn, stiff-necked ways. You reject what the Bible has to say in your marriage, in your walk with Jesus Christ. You go ahead and do that. You will never be satisfied. You will miss out on your salvation. You will be leaving behind the one who is the source of life. Psalm 42, as a deer pants for the water brooks, my soul pants for You, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Yesterday I drank about 200 ounces of water, Gatorade, Powerade. I think I'm kind of feeling it today in my gut. It's feeling a little weird. But I was so thirsty because it was so hot outside. But when you thirst for something, nothing gets in your way for it. We'll even go overboard with it, won't we? Do we have that same thirst, men, for God? In His Word. In prayer. Encouraging one another. Sisters, you have that thirst and passion. Not just merely for how good your hair looks. Or your body. Your fingertips. My soul thirsts, pants for You. For who? The living God. You see, when we understand that we're made in His image, there's nothing bigger and better. Our motivation, our pursuits, our passions will be formed, molded, shifted, changed in His image. Has someone or something got in your way of your relationship with the Lord, the one who lives? Worry or doubt, money, boyfriends or girlfriends, sometimes even husbands and wives can get in our way. Has suffering or doubt caused you to stop calling upon the Lord who lives? Let's make sure that we remain with Him and that nothing gets in our way. No, it doesn't mean that we're never going to have challenges. We are going to have challenges. In fact, David is praising God because he had all these challenges and God delivered him. Job is going to say something powerful. I know that my Redeemer lives. While his body's covered in boils head to toe. So suffering is not even an excuse to turn away from the God who lives. But sometimes that can happen. And we need to make sure that we have this desire. How do we have it? How do we maintain this fire? How do we light the fire in our souls? Fan the flame. You got to stay connected to God. That's where the power is. In Him, not in us. If we're just occasionally talking to Him, occasionally listening to Him, no relationship works like that, at least in a high functional way. Light the fire in my soul, Lord. You see, this is why Paul tells us, and this is your challenge as well, fix your hope in Him, the living God. Where has your hope been fixed? If it's not in Him, then you're in trouble. Here's how awesome God is. Psalm 16, this is a passage used in Acts chapter 2 as Peter makes his defense about Jesus risen from the dead. Psalm chapter 16. Verse 9, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to undergo decay. You will make known to me the path of life. Listen to this. In your presence is fullness of joy. People are searching for happiness. It's good to be happy, but happiness is fleeting. That is not the end all. The fruit of the Spirit is not happiness, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Joy. And that's something that we all need to have and exhibit and to experience. And the Bible says in your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. Young people, don't think the God of the Bible is boring or just not worth following or worth studying about. No, consider Him, seek after Him, learn of Him. In Him, in His presence is fullness of joy. That's the Lord who lives. It was Job, as I just mentioned a moment ago, who said, I know that my Redeemer lives. We know from abstract revelation the creation, as Paul talked about in Romans chapter 1. There has to be a creator. There is a creator. We see His eternal power and divine nature. But we must go to the Word of God, this concrete revelation, to know who He is, what He demands, how we please Him, how we follow Him, how we become a Christian. Make no mistake about it, we can know that our Redeemer lives. Many today live their lives being agnostic their entire lives. Maybe they need to doubt their own doubt, their agnosticism. No, we can know, though, that the Lord lives. So my question for all of us this morning, as we wrap up this morning, is this. The Lord lives. The question will be, are we going to live for Him? The Lord lives. Are you living for Him? Does He see you living for Him? Will you continue to live for Him? We all have to make that decision. Jesus, when He prayed right before He died on the cross, or before He would be put on the cross, He prayed to the Father in heaven. And He said, this is eternal life, that they may know you. So Jesus says, no, you can know the Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. You can know the Father, and you can know the Son. And you can know them both by opening up the revelation that's been given to all of us. We want to encourage you to study God's Word. Maybe you're not a Christian. Maybe you have some questions about the existence of God. We love to study the Word of God with you. You can be pleasing to Him and know how to be saved from your sins. Maybe you're already ready. Maybe you're already there. You know that God exists. Now is your time to follow through, to take action. Hebrews chapter 11, those who had faith, they took action. Got faith? Then take action. Get up this morning. Come forward this morning. Confess your faith that you believe God exists, that God and His Son, they're real, and that God sent His Son to die on the cross and was raised from the dead. And turn away from your sins and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. That's your next step if you already believe in God and His Son, Jesus Christ.
Once again, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode. If you are in the need or looking for more motivation in your life, feel free to check out my website, benjaminlee.blog, where you can find hundreds of encouraging, motivational blog posts on a variety of subjects. You can find all of my books, which can also be found on amazon.com, and other podcast interviews with a variety of people. I hope this helps. Please leave me a rating and a review. I can do, and so can you. Take care, and God bless.